compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. I hope you enjoyed your 21-hour break. My number is 888-914-9149. We have a line or two open if you want to grab one now. 888-914-9149 is the number. Let's get off to a fast start with Alicia in Silver Spring, Maryland. I don't know if it's Alicia or Alicia. Either way, welcome.
Oh, hi, Patrick. This is Alicia.
Alicia, hi. Welcome.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, my question is about my daughter. She's been dating a boy for about 4 months. And she wants to know how to bring up the topic on religion. She needs some tips.
And how old are the two of them?
20.
Okay. And does she have any inkling what religious background, if any, he has?
He says the family traces back to Catholic. Back when he was a young child, he used to attend the Catholic Church, but then they stopped attending.
Okay.
He says that his grandmother was a bit pushy about it, so it kind of scared them off.
Oh. Well, she was probably just being a good grandma. Seeing her family drift away made her unhappy. So I can't blame her.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I honestly don't laugh when I tell you this. I really do think, because I've used this before myself. If she were to get a copy of the Baltimore Catechism, you want the St. Joseph edition. That's published by a Catholic book publishing company. It has a gray cover, a picture of Jesus on the front saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's filled with really basic, simple question and answers about the Catholic faith. It has retro illustrations from the 1950s. Everybody loves retro, right? So it's easy to read, but it's not like insultingly easy to read. It's something that an adult could easily pick up and enjoy reading. A question and answer, everything's very bite-sized. Everything is keyed to scripture, etc. And it has these interesting pictures. I'll bet you if she gave him a copy of that and just said, I realize in your family tree there's some Catholic faith in your background. You have never really been in a Catholic church, I understand. Here's a little introduction to what I believe is a Catholic. And I would start there. Now, there are many other things you could do. That's like a very entry-level kind of thing. But to physically hand him a copy of the book, and they're inexpensive. You can get them at your local Catholic bookstore for, you know, under $10, probably about $7 or $8. And it's a substantial book. It's not a pamphlet. I would say start with that, and then she can suggest that he start listening maybe to this program. She can show him how to download the Relevant Radio app if he's interested. And if he starts listening, then we can help her help him, because he'll hear things on this program and the other programs on Relevant Radio that will hopefully maybe clear up some misconceptions, maybe help him become more interested and curious, and maybe that will help this process.
Okay.
It's surprisingly easy, isn't it? Nothing complicated.
Yeah. So I have the Baltimore Catechism, the St. Joseph edition.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I'll do, just to make it easy for you? When we get to the next break, so that'll be in about 13 minutes roughly, I will go to my Twitter account, at Patrick Madrid, and I will find where I had tweeted that before with a picture of it, and I'll just retweet it. So if you go to twitter.com/Patrick Madrid, you'll see it at the top of my Twitter feed, and then you can know what you're looking for.
Okay. Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. So she can just start by sharing this book with him. She was wondering if she should talk about it with him, but she just doesn't know the right things to say.
Well, I mean, this is where there are a lot of variables that I don't have any way of knowing. I don't know what her personality is like. I don't know what his personality is like. I don't know how serious they are about each other. I don't have any of those details. So I guess generically my advice would be for her to be friendly, not pushy, but friendly, confident, matter of fact. Oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. I take my Catholic faith very seriously. Here's something that explains it, if you're interested. And not push it on him, but just say, if you think you might be interested in knowing more about what I believe, then this book will help you. She should probably read it too, so maybe you get two copies, one for her and one for him, and then she can be reading it in the meantime so that if he asks questions, she won't be caught flat-footed. Recommending Relevant Radio. See, these are all preliminary steps, Alicia. I wouldn't say that this ends here. This is just like an entree. It's an opening gambit. Mm-hmm. And then see where it goes. It may be the next step is she invites him to come to Mass with her. And then maybe the next step is let's go talk to Father McGillicuddy. I mean, there are any number of things that could happen along the way, but those are maybe some next steps. But I think these are good first steps.
Okay. That sounds good. We'll start with that.
All right. Yeah. Well, maybe you or she could call me a month or two from now and let me know how this advice panned out. I'll say a little prayer that it works out well for everybody concerned. Thanks, Alicia. Appreciate it. Let's go to Maria now in California. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Patrick. I'm calling because I need some spiritual guidance.
Okay.
I've been dealing with anxiety, and I'm still working with my therapist to find the underlying cause of it.
Okay.
But right now what's really making it really bad is that we moved from my previous place that I thought was causing it. And now that we purchased a home in another, I recently discovered there is some structural issues that weren't disclosed at the time of purchase.
Okay.
And that's really, really affecting me.
Okay.
I've had the house blessed this past weekend.
Pause for a second. If you could pause for a second, Maria. You said there's some structural issues. You mean the house is not sound structurally?
There is some foundation cracks that the sellers didn't disclose, and the inspector failed to catch. I saw myself. I went under the house.
Well, those are things that, I mean, I'm not a real estate agent. I don't know real estate law or anything like that, but I'm just venturing a guess here that there's a remedy for those kind of things, that if it was intentionally concealed, you should have some recourse legally. If the inspector failed to catch something that egregious, you should have some recourse. I mean, he would be, I assume, bonded in the case of a lawsuit because of negligence. I mean, there are ways that you can find redress on these issues. Just be aware of that is all I'm saying.
And that's what I wanted guidance in as well, because I really don't want to bring on a lawsuit and cause some harm to someone. But at the same time, I want my peace of mind. And I was thinking that to get contractors out to give me an estimate of how to repair and how much it costs. But when I talked to my husband about possibly doing a lawsuit, he's hesitant about it because at the end of the day, the burden of proof is on us, and it could backfire and we're liable for someone else's legal fees as well.
I would get some legal advice about it. Don't assume anything. I'm not a lawyer. I can't give you legal advice. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't do it because I'm not a lawyer. Okay. But this sounds like something, if I were in your position, I would want to know with certitude what exactly the risks and advantages might be. Keep in mind that, you know, I mean, how could it come back on you? Because how would you have cracked the slab before you even went to go look at the house to buy it? I mean, how could that possibly be something that you did if you didn't know about it because it was not disclosed to you? Well, that's somebody else's problem, not yours. Somebody else's fault, not yours. So maybe the first step in this case would be talk to a lawyer, just get a consultation and say, if we were to take this further and file a lawsuit.
Sorry to interrupt. I did speak to a lawyer, and there is a small chance of, like, there's always a possibility that if it's lost due to contracts involved, the losing party pays the other party for attorney fees.
Okay, fair enough. So not being a lawyer, all I can do is venture a guess in that area. You mentioned that it's causing you a lot of stress. Well, I think you're right to be going to some kind of therapy. So if you have a therapist, if you have somebody that you can talk to and get these feelings sorted out, that's good. If you are close to Jesus and receiving the sacraments, saying your prayers, that's going to help.
From a religious point of view, there's nothing wrong with me bringing on a lawsuit then.
No, you have the right to do that if that's the proper recourse. I mean, St. Paul does talk about how in the early church, when there were lawsuits, he expressed not exasperation, but he expressed sort of like he feigned being kind of, not feigned, is that the wrong word? He expressed a kind of surprise, like, why would you bring a lawsuit for a non-Christian to decide a dispute among you? Shouldn't you be brothers and sisters in Christ where you can settle these disputes for yourself rather than take it to the law? But that was a different scenario under different circumstances, and what you're describing I don't think falls into that category. Sometimes as much as you don't want to, it may be the best thing to do to bring a lawsuit if that's what's necessary. So I want you to feel more at peace, but sometimes in life things get really, you know, really rocky, really difficult, and you just have to work your way through it. If this is of any help to you, Maria, I can remember some things in my life, some issues and instances where I was consumed with anxiety and I was worried and I, you know, really didn't feel at all happy because of certain things happening in my life. I don't even remember now what they are, to be honest with you, but that passes and things get resolved and you move forward. You know, this is not something that should cause you to topple over. Just be faithful and be patient and be prudent and seek to do the right thing. Ask the Lord to guide you, you know.
I've been praying and I've been trying to listen to those close to me that know that I'm going through this. And my mom thinks I should mend my relationship with my dad because, well, I do have a hard time speaking to him, so and him being the foundation of my life might be the reasoning behind all this.
I thought you said you were married. Did I misunderstand?
I'm sorry?
Maybe I misunderstood. I thought you said you were married. I thought you mentioned your husband.
Yes, I'm married, and okay. I don't have a good relationship with my father either.
Are you saying you don't have a good relationship with your husband as well?
No, with my father.
Okay. Well, the only reason I ask, you know, I don't want to pry or anything, but when you said he's the foundation of your life, it made me think, wait a minute, shouldn't your husband be the foundation of your life? I mean, it's good to have a good relationship with your father and mother, but you've left them and you're now one flesh with your husband. So having a good relationship with your father is very important. Don't misunderstand. I'm not diminishing that importance, but your relationship with your father, it seems to me, should be subordinate to your relationship with your husband.
Oh, and it totally is. I think what I meant to say was that he set a foundation for my life and how I react to things
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you're making some good moves already, Maria. Number one, you're reaching out, asking for some advice. That's wise. You are already going to a therapist. That's wise. As I said, stay close to Jesus in the sacraments. Say your prayers. Pray the rosary every day. You know, maybe, how about this? I'll leave you with this suggestion. Why don't you make a crash course novena to Our Lady? Because she's there to pray for you, as you know. And maybe make, you know, you could do it over 9 days if you want. Our Lady Undoer of Knots, that's a wonderful novena. You could pray the prayer each day for 9 days. You could also do a crash course novena and maybe say, pray 9 memorare prayers right now when we hang up. You could pray a quick novena to Our Lady and ask her to help you, ask her to pray for you, that the Lord would grant some resolution in a way that won't make you go crazy. And put her on the case.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hang in there. It's not as bad as it seems. It's like the weather. These things will come and go, and you'll look back on it a little while later, and you'll say, yeah, it wasn't as bad as I was afraid that it was. I'm here to tell you because I've been in that situation before. And sometimes what you fear the most is never going to happen. And why waste all that anxiety? And I know my wife, if she's listening right now, she might be listening. She's probably rolling her eyes and chuckling to herself because this is the same advice she gives me when I worry. And here I am giving you that same advice. But I know that it works. So try that. And go in peace, Maria. I'm going to say a little prayer for you too, and that everything smooths out sooner rather than later. Thank you. Let's go to Elise now in Downers Grove, Illinois. Hi, Elise.
Hi, good morning. I am navigating the Catholic dating trenches, if you will, trying to find someone who's Catholic. And you've given advice on this in the past. And I guess one of the questions that came up recently from a gentleman who was married in the Lutheran church but is Catholic and has since been divorced, a topic came up about how come things are a sin in the Catholic church but not in other denominations.
Did he have an example attached to that?
And how do you navigate that? Yeah, as it relates to dating or different things within dating.
Mm-hmm.
Physicality, you mean like, levels, things like that.
Say that last part again. I spoke
like
over
physicality
you.
Levels, oh, okay. Or okay. Intimacy, things like that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about not so much like why is it a sin in the Catholic Church, but not a sin in some other group, I guess, Lutheran or whatever. I think maybe a better way to frame it in your conversation with him is to say, is it a sin unto itself? I mean, is a certain activity or a certain action, is it in itself a sin under these circumstances? And if that's true, then it really doesn't matter what religious context you're in. If it's a sin, morally speaking, it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Lutheran or whatever. Maybe try to frame it as looking at the thing itself and determining whether this is right or wrong. Because if it's wrong, then it would be wrong for a Catholic, it'd be wrong for a Lutheran, it'd be wrong for, you know, morally speaking, it would be wrong, even if somebody has a belief system where they don't think it's wrong. So take abortion as an example. It's handy because it's in the news all the time. And I know that has nothing to do with your situation. But it's not dependent upon religion to know that it's immoral to kill an innocent human being. You don't need religion to tell you that. So it's not wrong for Catholics, but okay for atheists. It transcends religious or irreligious categories. And I'm using that because it's an easy example. Because it's so obvious that you don't have the right to kill an innocent person. But there's an example where you can evaluate the thing itself completely independently from religion. Now, in the case of what you brought up, dating, what is the Catholic Church say is permissible if you're dating? Well, it's really a rather narrow set of things. So nothing sexual, and by sexual I mean venereal, nothing intimate that a husband and a wife would be free to engage in with each other, because that glorifies God through their marital intimacy. But things like, you know, holding hands or walking arm in arm, or, you know, a hug goodbye or a kiss on the cheek, or, you know, maybe if you get engaged to somebody, something like a kiss on the mouth, but nothing. I'm trying to speak in a roundabout way, at least, because I know we have children listening. So nothing invasive, nothing venereal, nothing that would cause physical changes in people that could lead to sin, if you follow my meaning. You don't want to put yourself in those situations. And the church says that those are things that are reserved for married people. And before you're married, they're not proper to you. So as a general rule, I think those guidelines would apply regardless of what particular group you belong to. And since you're the Catholic party, I mean, assuming you're probably trying to date Catholics, I hope you are, or if you're looking for, okay. So it's not as though like you're the Catholic who's got one set of rules and you're talking to a non-Catholic who's got another set of rules. Ideally, you're going to be talking to a Catholic man and sorting these things out. And maybe at the beginning, you can just say, well, let's establish our ground rules. Here are my ground rules. Here's how I understand the church's teaching on chastity and purity. Are we in agreement on this? Because if we're not, then let's keep looking for somebody else, because this won't work. If you don't feel like I do on these issues, and if you're not willing to be careful and not do things that will lead to sin, then we might as well not waste each other's time. But if he says, yep, I'm on board, that's how I look at it, then you've got a firm foundation because you're in agreement on those important things.
Right. And I find that most Catholic gentlemen will agree 100% on 10 commandments or anything Jesus said. But then when it comes in terms of like the history, right, where scripture and history, the history part or what's passed down from the bishops or
apostolic
catechism,
tradition.
That's where, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's when things start to get muddled or not combative, but uncomfortable.
That is the sign right there that that guy wants to cut some corners. Like, well, Jesus never said that I can't do this or you can't do that. Jesus never said that. Therefore, it's sort of like an argument from silence that because if Jesus didn't say that, therefore it must be okay. So that's a red flag to
me. Yeah, and that's come up in dating with more than one person. If Jesus didn't say it, then I don't follow it.
Yeah, that's not a Catholic principle. It's not a biblical principle. The Bible nowhere, Jesus nowhere said, don't nuke population centers and wipe out 1,000 people or more with a nuclear bomb. He never said that, but he didn't need to say that because, you know, the general moral principles apply even in specific examples. So I, unfortunately, at least I have to step aside for a quick break, but I hope this conversation has clarified things a little bit more for you. Check out that book by Steve Wood. I recommend it all the time. I think you'll like it. It's called The ABCs of Finding a Good Husband. And he talks about these things. The ABCs of Finding a Good Husband by Steve Wood. Thank you, Elise. I was going to say, no, I won't say it. Thank you, Elise. God bless you. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Maybe you heard a call I had a few days ago from a man who was homeless, and he called in to talk about how listening to Relevant Radio is such a lifeline for him and how it's helped him to recover his lost Catholic faith. It was really a beautiful call. Well, Doreen, who's listening on the Relevant Radio app, she wrote in to say, Patrick, ever since I heard that call from the man who was homeless and driving a truck and living in it, I have had an idea for helping those who are homeless and who don't want to be homeless. Since there is a shortage of truck drivers, I was thinking that trucking companies could pay for homeless people who want to work and don't want to be homeless to get their, I guess that means credentials, in exchange for a commitment to work for them for X number of years. They could live in their trucks until they save up enough money to put a down payment on an apartment or house. If you think this is a good idea, perhaps you could mention it on the air to spark some action for those in a position to make it happen. Well, she says her conscience has just been nagging her to write the email. So thank you for that, Doreen. I always believe we should follow our consciences. We should listen. I'm not sure what to say, only because I'm assuming that an employer might be really skittish about employing somebody who's genuinely homeless and maybe doesn't have any credentials, as you say. But to help them get credentialed so that they can drive safely on the road, I see some positives there. I really do. What I don't know, because I can't predict, is what would the owner of a trucking company say to that idea? I don't know. Maybe there's somebody who would say, yeah, I could try that. So I'm putting it out there for you, as you suggested. And who knows, maybe somebody will hear that, and maybe not that, but some permutation of that might stick in somebody's mind. And before you know it, there's another solution there. So I appreciate you thinking about that topic, and also thanks for listening to the program. This email comes in from Heather, and she's listening in Chicago on our 950 AM station, and it's about the book called The Kingdom of the Cults. She says, I have a sister-in-law who is hard to describe without being scandalous. She sent my husband a book by the title The Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin. I'm certain it was to slam our religious beliefs. She can and has been a very petty person. Before I make full judgment on the book or contemplate contacting her to ask her why she sent it, I would like to know if you have read the book and can give any insight as to what it's about. To me, just glancing through it, it's a sad waste of the forest it was pulped out of. Well put. I would disagree, but well put. I would greatly appreciate any... she says, I would greatly appreciate your take on it. Thank you. Well, thank you, Heather. So I am familiar with the book. I actually did get to know briefly, and not very well, but briefly, Walter Martin. He was known as the Bible Answer Man back in the day. And there's a bit of a backstory, if you don't mind, I'll share that with you. So before I ever was involved in Catholic Answers, I started working in Catholic Answers, I think it was like the beginning of January of 88. And I had had a kind of an acquaintanceship with Carl Keating, the founder of Catholic Answers, most or at least half of the year prior to that. And I was very interested in apologetics. And before I knew what was happening, suddenly I'm now working at Catholic Answers. He had changed from a part-time organization that he had done in his spare time. He was a lawyer by trade. And for, I guess, close to the prior 8 years or so, 7, 8 years, 9 years, he was doing it as a part-time venture. And then he switched to do it full-time. And that's when I came on board. So it was him, myself, and one other person. That was it. That was all of Catholic Answers. And we weren't in those days doing much of anything that Catholic Answers is doing nowadays. But in any case, I had 8 years there. And prior to that time, I would, in my job, I had a job in sales, which required me to drive all over the Southland. And I would listen to the Bible Answer Man show faithfully every day. It was very interesting because I was very interested in apologetics. Now, Dr. Walter Martin was an evangelical Protestant. I believe he was raised Episcopalian, if I'm not mistaken. He might even have had like a Catholic mom. There may have been some, I think, some Catholic identity or connection in his past, but he became an evangelical Protestant, and he became this sort of noted authority on what he called the cults. And by cults, what he meant was Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventism, and other groups that he called cults. Now, plenty of Protestants who would call the program wanted him to identify the Catholic Church as a cult. But one thing to his credit was that he resisted doing that. And he tended to not want to go after Catholics. Now, he didn't like Catholic teaching on why we ask Mary to pray for us. He didn't like or agree with Catholic teaching on the doctrine of purgatory or on the role of the papacy, etc. So it wasn't as though he like was secretly Catholic or anything. Although near the very end of his life, he actually did befriend Father Mitch Pacwa, a Jesuit priest whom he debated on the John Ankerberg program. And I saw that debate before I ever met Father Mitch Pacwa. So I saw that debate probably in 86 or 87, and I was impressed by it. What I found out, this is all backstory, I hope you don't mind the backstory, but what I found out from Father Mitch was that this debate went so well for Father Mitch, the Catholic representative, and not so well for Dr. Walter Martin, who was like King Kong of the Protestant apologetics world, that it was heavily, heavily edited. And all the really important points and the body blow, body blow, body blow, you know, that Father Mitch Pacwa did, they cut all that out. And they only aired this body heavily... blow. That, exactly. That takes me back. They redacted it so that it made it appear as though the debate went much better for Dr. Walter Martin than it really did. But in any case, what I found out was that the two of them became friends. And Father or Walter Martin invited Father Mitch Pacwa to his church to say a few words. And it's long enough ago now that I'm a little hazy on some of the details. But long story short, I used to listen to him on a daily basis. Now, he had a very entertaining and combative and at times even dismissive demeanor on the air where he would just fry these people who would call in. It was a call-in apologetic show, and he would fry them. He would debate them into the ground. And part of it was the entertainment factor. But here's something. I learned kind of how to do apologetics the way he was doing it, and I had to unlearn that very quickly because, you know, if it's if you're doing it for the applause, if you're doing it for the oohs and ahs from your followers, that's one thing. But if you're trying to win somebody over to the truth, his brand of doing it, I found very abrasive and counterproductive. But I do remember he always sort of seemed to resist wanting to go after Catholics in the Catholic Church. So that brings me to your question. The book itself is actually valuable. And there are some really good, helpful things in there regarding some of these religious groups, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Oneness Pentecostals. I believe there's a chapter there on Christian Science and a few of the other assorted groups like that. And if you're looking for information about those things that can be useful to you, it's not a bad book at all. One caveat, however. Walter Martin, he apparently didn't actually have a doctorate. He went by the title Dr. Walter Martin. But as I understand it, some of his critics digging around found that he, at least this is what they say. I never dug into the information myself, but it seems, at least from what they say, their accusation is that he got a diploma from a diploma mill. He didn't actually have a for real PhD. Now, who knows? That's one of the claims against him. But one thing I do know is that in spite of his genuine body of knowledge and he was very agile and clever in the way he approached topics, he also was in some cases theologically very malformed. So to give you an example, he did not believe in the Son being eternally begotten of the Father. So when it talks about Christ, the Son of God, he held a view, and I believe it's actually expressed in this book, The Kingdom of the Cult. So this would be a theological error on his part. But he promoted the view that the Father does not eternally generate the Son. And that, of course, is bedrock Trinitarian theology, bedrock Christology, that the Father eternally begets the Son, as we say in the Creed. He didn't believe that. So he had some errors mixed in with some of the knowledge that he himself had. So without diminishing the importance of what he did and without diminishing some of the good things that he has to offer, some of which you'll find in that book, my advice would be read it with, you know, take it with a grain of salt, read it carefully. And when you run into things there that are critical of the Catholic Church, just understand that he was a thoroughgoing Protestant and he was writing and doing his radio programs for primarily a Protestant audience. And so he's going to speak and write in ways that would be familiar to them and their manner of polemic. And I think if you approach the book that way, you'll find it helpful. So I don't know, that's a rather long and convoluted answer to a simple question, but I would not be afraid of reading that book. And it's in my personal library. I've had a copy. Oh, one last thing before we go to the phones. By the way, 888-914-9149. That's the number to call, 888-914-9149. I mentioned that I had an opportunity to briefly get to know Walter Martin. And I mean briefly, because what happened was I was at the Christian Research Institute, which is the organization that he had founded. And it was the organization that had in those days, it's changed hands a few times, but it had the Bible Answer Man program. That was its flagship, was the Bible Answer Man program. Had a magazine and a few other things. So I was there in my capacity as working at Catholic Answers one day, and who came walking out of his office? Dr. Walter Martin. And Father Mitch Paco was there, and I was there. I forget who else was there. I think Mark Brumley might have been there. He's now the president of Ignatius Press up in San Francisco. He was working at Catholic Answers at the time. This was 1989. It was the summer of 1989. And we're like in the building visiting with some of their people. Walter Martin steps out. It's like, oh, hey, Father Mitch. You know, they give each other a bear hug. And Father Mitch introduces him to me. I was, you know, an absolute nobody. Like, he might as well have been introducing him to a piece of furniture before all he knew. But he gave me a bear hug. We shook hands. We stood in the hallway and chatted, the four or five of us, for maybe, it seems like it was 2-3 minutes that we were talking. He was very friendly. And when it was all over, he asked, can we pray? Yeah, absolutely. Let's pray. So we bowed our heads in prayer. And it was later that day that Father Mitch Paquet told me that he had struck up this friendship with Walter Martin, and that actually Father Walter Martin was actually considering going on a pilgrimage with Father Mitch. I don't know if it was to the Holy Land or where, but he said about Walter Martin that he thought he actually was on the road to becoming Catholic. Of course, that didn't happen because shortly thereafter, he died of a sudden heart attack at the age of 60. And one of the CRI guys happened to be at my house visiting one afternoon, and he got a phone call saying, you got to come in right away because Walter Martin just died. So his life was cut short, sudden heart attack, dropped dead at the age of 60. But he had quite an impact on many people, myself included. So there's what you might call the rest of the story. Thank you for that email. Let's take some calls after the break. The number again, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'll be right back right after this.
Ivo, knockout!
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Let's go!
Let's go, man and woman. 888-914-9149. Equal opportunity here on the Patrick Madrid Show. 888-914-9149. Let's get over to Decatur, Illinois now and talk to Carol. Hello, Carol.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a question. It might be simple, but it's a slight bit complicated. I'm trying to figure out how to gently bring my daughter back to the church. She's 29 years old, married, has four kids. Her first two kids, she was in a relationship that ended up very abusive. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple things in the church that angered her. She does have one of the girls in a Catholic preschool, but I can't get her to come back to church, and her husband's never really been to church, and I'm trying to figure out what can I do to gently push them in that way.
Yeah. Now, is the husband that she's with the same father for all four children, or is there another father
No.
for the first two?
There's another father that went to prison for hurting the girls, the first two. The next two are her husband's, and he has adopted them, and that is Dad.
That's good. And he's a good man?
Yes.
He's a good father?
Yes, he's a good man, yes.
Good, good. I'm happy for that. Well, so your daughter was raised Catholic. I presume she received her sacraments. She received her first Holy Communion,
yes.
And she was confirmed. Okay. Well, the first thing is, it wouldn't be hardly just a flick of the finger for her to come back to the practice of her faith. There's nothing she would need to do other than go make a good confession. But getting to that point, of course, she's not there yet. So I really do believe in the advice I'm going to give you right now, Carol. If you can coax her into listening to this program or any other program on Relevant Radio, Timmery's on in the evenings. She's as you probably know, she's a young woman, and she talks about things from a woman's perspective. That might appeal to your daughter. The Cale Clark Show, chock full of biblical information, lots of interesting details. Cale is a genius, if you ask me. Father Richard Simon is a genius. Our star quarterback, Drew Mariani, three-hour program every afternoon, wonderful. Whatever the flavor is that she would find the most interesting, perhaps it's this show. Perhaps it's Morning Air. Perhaps it's The Inner Life with Josh Raymond. Or it's, you know, have I left anybody out? I hope not. Daybreak with Paul Sadek. These are all different approaches to this. It's maybe thinking of it this way. It's like a symphony orchestra. And we're all playing the same song, but we all play different instruments. And some people like one instrument more than another, but it's the same song, which is the Catholic faith. So I really do believe, Carol, that if you could coax your daughter into starting to listen to Relevant Radio, you would be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised, how many people on a nearly daily basis tell us that they used to be in a situation just like your daughter, away from the faith, not receiving the sacraments, not praying, not going to Mass. And by happenstance, sometimes they start listening to Relevant Radio and their lives change, sometimes on a dime. Sometimes it takes longer, but it happens very often. And that may be maybe the best thing that you can do is not push her, but coax her. You know the old saying?
Yeah.
You can
trying to do gentle.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right?
Correct.
But you can put salt in his oats so that he gets thirsty and wants to drink. So by listening to Relevant Radio, we can help with that. And we will be talking about things that might pique her interest. What do you think?
Possibly. The only problem is, because of her anger, because of what happened, she started to believe worldly beliefs that she never did before.
Mm-hmm.
I still pray and that she has it in her, that because she was taught. Mm-hmm. And I keep praying for that. So I might try to find one of the programs that she would enjoy, because I would like that. Hopefully mm-hmm. her excuse won't be, well, I have four kids and I don't have the time.
Well, of course, that's not an excuse. Doesn't matter how many. I have 11 kids. you know, and all the more, and as you as grandma know, all the more reason that she needs to get back on track for the sake of her children and your grandchildren.
Yeah, like I said, one of them is in the Catholic preschool, and the other two, she allows me to take them to PSR, which is wonderful.
That's good. No, that's really good. You've got some great
advantages.
But
she didn't let me give them their sacraments. They didn't take First Communion and all that. She wouldn't mm-hmm. allow that.
I see this as a success story in the making and a conversion story waiting to happen. And with your prayers and your faithful efforts to help her, gentle persuasion, not pushy, obviously that set her off in the first place. Let Relevant Radio help. Maybe give her a copy of the Baltimore Catechism. I recommend that book a lot because it's so entry level that anybody can benefit from it.
Yeah.
Here's another thought, Carol. We have the Patrick Madrid Show, anyway, has a YouTube channel, and there are segments of all kinds of different topics on this program over the years that are in packaged little bite-sized video form. And you could go to YouTube and look up the Patrick Madrid Show page or the channel, and then just scroll through, and you may say, oh, that might be interesting, and just text it to her phone. I thought this conversation was interesting. And then every so often, maybe every few days or whatever, you start texting her more of that. That would help her understand what kind of a show this is. And then you could say, by the way, if you like more, you can get the Relevant Radio app on your phone for free and start listening whenever you want to. And it may be as simple as that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the Baltimore Catechism I thought about, like I said, I think she had one growing up, and I had some. I thought about sending them home with the girls, and maybe she would mm-hmm. look at it. I thought about starting there, too.
I would do that. You've got nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Okay. Right.
You're a good mother, and you're doing the right thing, and I'm going to pray for you that all of these things fall into place.
I appreciate your prayers. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Carol. Appreciate that. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Noel now in Rockland, California. Hello, Noel.
Good morning.
You're the first Noel
you,
of the program today.
Yes,
I'm doing
I am.
Well, thank you.
I have a situation, pretty bizarre. I went to the gym yesterday, and there was a man dressed as a woman in the locker room.
Mm.
And I didn't know he was a man until someone, you know, I knew something was off about him. But then a young woman came up to me and said, that's a man. Be warned. And so mm-hmm. I called the gym later and spoke to the general manager and confirmed he is a man and he dresses as a woman. And I said, well, where are my rights in this? And he said, well, good question. And from our conversation, I gathered he's not happy with the situation either.
Okay.
He's bound by the rules of the state of California, and there's nothing he can do. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what do I do? Because if I want to be part of the change in society that sees a change where this is not okay, you know, I've changed my hours, going to another gym. But still, that shouldn't be the case. And I also, from the general manager, he told me that there's a lot of women up in arms about this.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, is it like a, I don't know if it's Gold's Gym, but is it one of the gyms that's like a chain, belongs to a company, a big company, or is it like a mom and pop gym?
It's a 24-hour fitness.
Okay. All right. So my presumption here is that on the one hand, you're right. you should not have to be in that intolerable situation. There should not be a man permitted to be in the locker rooms or showers or anything. It's just, it's outrageous and it's terrible. The problem, as you already know, is that legally, the state of California is about as far left as it possibly gets on this issue, especially. And everything is rigged against you. Everything. All the laws are rigged against a gym that might want to say, well, we don't want to allow that in our gym. I mean, that could set off a chain reaction where the gym gets shut down. That's how bad it is in California. And you don't need me to tell you this because you already know. So what are your options? Well, you can stand and fight, but I wouldn't want my wife to do that. I would not want my wife at a gym where there's a man running around in the women's locker room. In fact, I would absolutely forbid it, you know, for her own safety, not to mention modesty, etc. So I think maybe the easiest course of action, since you're not likely to prevail against the combined might of the state of California and their insanity on steroids that's now entrenched in the law, it seems like the easiest course of action for you would be to just end your membership and put that money toward buying some, you know, buy a Nordic track at home or buy some weights and things at home and just do your exercises at home. Or if you can find a gym where they don't have that problem, but chances are it's going to be hard to find a gym where they don't have that same problem, or at least they're not,
I think you're right,
vulnerable to it.
Okay, so, well, I think because I'm still, like, I think it's a righteous anger. I'm up in arms about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel violated. I mean, nothing happened, but it was still...
Right. It was outrageous.
It's a violation against my right. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm
see,
thinking,
here's the
okay,
thing, though.
Where's my...
Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Where's my responsibility towards other people and letting them know, too, besides, you know, I'm not trying to get, like, back or even, but at the same time, shouldn't I let people, other women, know, too?
Yeah, I mean, I would. So you can go on Facebook. You can go on Yelp. I mean, there are outlets where you can say, I resigned from this gym. I like this gym. I've been a member there since whenever. I really wish I could stay there as a member, but their policy is dangerous and it puts people, especially women, at risk. And I can't do that. It's something up with which I will not put. And I was driven out because of their crazy policy. And I just want to let all you ladies know that you're vulnerable to this problem if you go there. So you can publicly explain why you left. I mean, don't do anything libelous. You want to word it in a way that is not, say, you know, litigious or actionable. But you have every right to tell your story and give a bad review and say, this is why I don't recommend people go there because of this problem. And then you will have done, I think, your duty to let other people know. Tell your friends if you have friends who go there. But maybe try one more time if it's possible. Can you please just tell that guy to not be in the women's locker room? And chances are they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But you at least have the moral high ground here. But please understand, things are so bad now that you're the one who's considered the hater because you object to this.
I know.
But you're not.
I know. That's another part, outrageous part, that I get labeled as a hater, and I'm not.
No, you're not. You're just a woman who wants her privacy, as all women do, and they have a right to it. And, you know, they should not be put in a position. I mean, of all things, a man in the women's locker room, please. It's the height of stupidity. It's the height of being dangerous, quite frankly. So I'm with you.
You just gave me an idea for the Yelp thing. Thank you.
Yeah. Yelp can be very irritating. I find Yelp at times very irritating, but at times it can be a useful tool. It can be a stick to beat something with when it needs a beating. And this might be one of those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all I can do. Well, I started praying for him too. So with that, also, if, you know, the listeners would pray for him too, because he's God's child. Not to be pious do-gooder, but it's like, okay, I have to do something with this anger, so I'll pray for him.
That's a good thing. Channel it into a positive direction. Yeah, there's no reason to hate him or anything like that. Who knows what he's going through? But yeah, as Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you, bless your enemies, do good for those who don't do good for you. So I think that's noble and wise of you to do that.
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. All right. Well, hang in there. Who knows? Maybe next week your husband will have purchased for you a brand new Nordic Track. And no, I don't own stock in Nordic Track. It's the only brand name I know. I'll be right back. Got a little woman, be a woman. Let a man be a man. Listen. Got a little woman, be a woman. Let a man be a man. Got a little woman, be a woman. Let a man be a man. But listen, dig it out.